Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Dennis.
Yes, Dennis Hallinan. He's one of the employee owners here. And he comes in and helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And three lines open for you. I know it's a nice day so far. Feel free to get online, 860-522-9842. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Tons of concerns all the time. We'll do our best to help you out with those. But as we want to get right to work here, because Ed has been on the line the longest here. He's in Wallingford. What's happening, Ed?
Hey, good morning. I know this is a little off the normal subject.
That's okay.
But I bought a Tableau to get rid of Comcast criminals.
All right.
And now my daughter lives a few blocks from me, and she gets great coverage. She gets all the Connecticut channels, MeTV, everything. And I set it up. It's hooked up to the Wi-Fi the way it's supposed to. Everything is right.
Yeah.
But I'm not receiving any of the other local channels.
You're not getting any local signal?
Any ideas? What's that?
No local signal off an antenna?
Well, it's got the window antenna, the thing you stick in the window, and then it goes to their little booster.
Yeah, yeah. You should be able to get local signal.
Yeah, I thought so, too. But because she gets all the Connecticut stuff. She gets MeTV. She gets all that stuff on her TV.
Using the same antenna?
The same exact thing. We bought two of them.
Well, do you get any signal?
Oh, yeah. No, I get like 80 channels. But I'm not receiving any of the local channels.
That doesn't make sense.
It does not at all.
Now, 80 channels. This is both a streaming service and an antenna-based system?
Yeah. I mean, if you're familiar with Tableau, it's a little round gizmo hooks up to the Wi-Fi, and then you put the antenna in the window.
Yeah.
And then you hit scan, and it scans for all the I suppose broadcast channels.
And you're seeing 80 of them? That's a lot of them.
I got like 80 channels, yeah. Oh, I get all kinds of neat stuff on there, but I'm not getting Channel 8, Channel 3, Channel 61.
Something doesn't sound
whatever you've got isn't a real antenna. It's something else.
Yeah.
But I don't know what it is.
Yeah, there's only like 7 broadcast stations in the area that I could even think about you being able to get up.
Well, sometimes the second and third channels show
that's
up
true.
As new.
Yeah, it's true.
So you can have like
half a dozen maybe, but not 80.
I would think like 40.
40 even sounds a lot. So we're not sure what you got there, Ed.
No, I'm getting all kinds of neat stuff if I want to watch that. But I purposely got this. The only reason I kept Comcast is for local channels.
So you still have Comcast internet?
I still have it, yes.
Okay. All right.
Not until I feel comfortable with what I'm doing before I call them up. And I won't say anything that.
I know. You're going to cut the cable. So we don't know. We don't know why you're not able to get any local channels because it's an antenna.
Well, is it an antenna?
I don't know. We're not positive.
I don't know what it is.
It's a antenna, which is probably about 18 inches by 10 inches with a coax cable that goes to the Tableau box, and you put this antenna in your window.
What is a Tableau box? I don't even know what those are.
Okay,
yeah.
It's a round thing. It's a round box, hooks up to a power cord, and then it's got a coax connector on it. And you can connect it directly to your modem. If you're in that area, which I'm not, I don't have the modem.
All right,
in the same area.
Here's what I would suggest to figure out what's going on. take the antenna and don't plug it into this Tableau thing, whatever it is. I don't know. Because I don't even think it's doing what it's supposed to. It doesn't sound that way.
Yeah.
Just plug that antenna directly into the television and then scan and see what it tells you.
That's an idea.
Just isolate out that Tableau thing, because I think the Tableau thing is just not right.
And I'm Googling this, trying to figure this out. I haven't found anything.
If there's anything you can come up with.
Well, Dennis just did. Do what he said.
Yeah, I'm going to do that as soon as I get in the house. I'm sitting in my car right now.
All right, fair enough.
In my driveway.
Fair enough.
And then I've also considered something about possibly an outside antenna, but is there anybody in the world that installs these things anymore?
Yep.
Yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
You can probably Google local antenna. There are people that do it. I think even Perfect Vision and Sound might do it out there in Avon if they're still around.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your help. If anything that you think of, just, kind of put it over the air, put it on your website.
I think Dennis's shot is a good thing to try for now.
Yeah, that would be the first way to diagnose whatever's wrong.
Believe it or not, you can actually turn a piece of coax into an antenna. You can actually just stick the coax in the back of your TV and have it go up, let's say, 3 or 4 inches up your wall, take the shielding off of it, and it can become an antenna, and it can actually get live stations, believe it or not.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I got a lot of pieces of coax hanging around from the number of times I've had Comcast to my house for problems, and they always seem to put a new cable on and leave the old ones.
Gotcha. Yeah. So.
Well, thank you so much for your help.
All right. You're welcome. Good luck.
Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye. Yeah, we're not really sure what's going on that, but we haven't seen the product.
What we're going to do is post well, Mike G found an article about our product page for the Tableau.
He did.
And we can also post a link to a website called AntennaWeb, which is kind of a guide to buying antennas for digital television.
I wasn't searching on that spelling.
Yeah, I wasn't either. So thanks, Mike G.
There you go, Mike. See, it's all about asking the right
question.
He's
thinking out of the box when we aren't. So.
Yeah. You got to ask the right question, and
props
he did.
Props to him.
There's no way that little thing. It's a little puck. It's about the size. It's not going to get anything.
Well, it doesn't. You're supposed to add an antenna to it, I think. I don't know.
There it is. All right. All right, let's go on to your calls. We're going to go to Lou in Simsbury. What's going on there, Lou?
Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
A couple weeks ago, I called you with an iMac Fusion Drive issue.
Yes.
Right. And since then, I have replaced both the original solid state drive and the other mechanical drive with solid state components.
Yep.
Okay.
2 terabyte main drive and 1 terabyte, I guess, Fusion drive, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The problem that I've come, and maybe it's not a problem, but I seem to have broken the link between the main drive and the Fusion drive. So now my machine shows 2 drives.
Yeah.
Which is, it's fine. It's not a problem. My real question is about backup software.
Mm-hmm.
So I use Time Machine
and
it backs up the whole thing.
Yep.
But between music and pictures, I got a boatload of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And so my external backup drives, which are I have one that's 2 terabytes, but basically I have 3 external 1 terabyte drives that are running on Time Machine.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to back up the whole thing every time because I'm running out of space on these backup drives.
Right. You're trying to back up the backup?
Well, what I'd like to do is selectively say, just back up the music on this drive. Just back up the pictures on this drive. Back up everything else on another drive.
I'm sure you can configure that selective backup in Time Machine now.
No.
Oh, they're smart enough not to let you do that?
Yeah, it's kind of all or nothing.
So they're protecting you from you because selective backups are like the best way to lose data.
Because I'd forget something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing about Time Machine and probably the reason they don't have the selectivity is it's extremely efficient.
Mm-hmm.
It copies only the deltas, which are the changes within the files.
Right.
So once you've backed up the entire computer, it's just going to change the little bits of each file that are different from time to time. So I'm not sure why that wouldn't. I mean, that's what I have on my Mac.
Yep.
I've got a Time Machine backup. Mm-hmm. I have my iTunes music backed up to a NAS drive, but I just manually copy all of that once in a while when I know that there's a change to my library.
Yeah.
Photos are backed up automatically from my mobile devices to my NAS because that there's an app for that that just syncs all that stuff up.
Yeah.
And I've already copied the photos from the iMac to the NAS drive, and those aren't changing on there anytime soon. So I've effectively got some selective backups, but it's all done manually in addition to the Time Machine backup, which is automated for the whole Mac.
Right.
So your photos are not resident on your machine. You, when you take them, you move them to a different drive.
I save them on my NAS.
Yeah.
All right.
And the NAS is backed up to, well, not backed up, but synced up to OneDrive. And I keep things there as well.
So he's triple backed up because you know what? He knows the failure that could occur.
Right.
And there's stuff that's actually dropped out of sight on one and I can find it on the other. So I'm all right.
Yeah. So
all right.
Careful with selective, though.
Yeah. Well, it doesn't sound like I'm going that way anyway, because that would require new software or moving stuff off my main.
Right.
My brand new solid state 2 terabyte wicked fast card.
Yeah.
And I don't want to mess with that.
Nope, right. I don't blame you.
No, I don't blame you either.
All right. Well, you gave me good advice on the Fusion Drive thing. That worked out extremely well.
I'm glad.
Thank you very much.
All right. Good luck.
Enjoy your day.
Thank you, you too.
Yep.
Yeah, those Fusion drives, they're like a hybrid, right? They had a piece of solid state and a piece of spinny, and they were a good idea at the time, but they're showing that they can learn incorrectly how to write data and how to operate, and they slow down, they have performance issues.
Yeah, there are flaws in the onboard controller on these drives, and it's Windows and Apple.
Yeah.
And they over time, they just lose their ability to arbitrate what should be where.
So as we wait for your calls, four lines wide open for you. I want to give you a quick story you might have heard or not heard, but this is like deja vu all over again. Like it looks like Ford hasn't watched what's going on over at Tesla. But Ford's hands-free Blue Cruise comes under scrutiny after a fatal crash. A Mustang Mach-E owner crashed into a Honda, killing the driver. And now the company's hands-free drive assist system is under investigation. Guys, you have to watch the road. It is not an autonomous vehicle. Even the autonomous vehicles had to have human intervention almost constantly.
Right, like what, every 2 minutes
or
something like that?
So we are not there. I would love to be there at some point because we wouldn't need insurance anymore if the vehicle couldn't crash into each other. But right now, it's not working. So we'll put a link up here for you guys and you can read the story. But the Mach-E, this crash took place in Philadelphia, and it's not known whether the driver assist system played a role. Both crashes involved a Mach-E's crash into stationary vehicles. So there's another crash they're talking about. And stationary vehicles is a big problem for automated driving assistance. I mean, we talk about Teslas literally driving into the back of lit up fire trucks on the highway. They'll smash right into the back of them.
Yeah.
Because they can't tell that the truck is parked. So you should see these accidents. It's awful.
Yeah.
You have to keep your hands on the wheel. The only benefit of these cruise systems, as far as I found, because I have the same thing in my wife's silly minivan.
Oh.
All right, it's the same technology, and my wife's it can turn corners. It can do it. It's in a minivan for crying out loud. All it does is help you if you're doing a long drive. It'll keep you in the lane so you're not going to drift, and that is a nice feature.
Right.
You still got to watch where you're going.
Yeah.
But it's nice to know the car is going to keep you in the lane. It's not autonomous driving. So we'll put the link up here for you guys. Looks like Ford is now going to be dealing with the exact same things Tesla's going to be dealing with. So it'll be here some point. I know that will be.
It's not here now.
It's not.
It's just, and if anyone tells you that they've come up with it now,
I know
they're lying. Through their teeth.
Elon recently, I saw some articles that he's releasing some sort of full autonomous software for those, because you guys already paid for it, which is even better. He sold you something. It's called vaporware in our world.
He sold you
something that didn't quite exist yet. But we'll put a link up here to the story. We're going to step out for a quick break. We have some calls coming in. So 860-522-9842 is the number. And so, Bonnie, hang on. We'll be right back. And we are back. A little more snarky for you. Thank you, Mr. Royce. We appreciate that. Three lines open for you. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And let's go help Bonnie out there in Windsor. What's going on, Bonnie?
Thank you so much.
Sure.
I'm calling because I was rather alarmed when I turned on my monitor this morning, and instead of seeing the usual home screen, I saw this huge blue screen that said, "Welcome, finish setting up your PC with Microsoft." We've been connected for years, and basically, in essence, it said to back up and connect to more Microsoft services. And the five services described are nothing that I'm interested in. Mm-hmm. One was backing up to OneDrive cloud storage. Mm-hmm. Another, subscribe to Microsoft 365 apps. Unlock device with a touch or a smile. Mm-hmm. Restore Microsoft browser settings and back up my phone to PC.
Jeez.
And my options were remind in 3 days or continue. I decided I'd talk with you first. There's just so many scams out there.
I know, your own computer. You don't trust your own computer.
This is
anymore.
A genuine screen.
Yeah.
It's not, it's not a scammer getting into your computer.
No.
For now, I would click on the remind me in 3 days.
You wouldn't just say continue?
Because you got to turn this thing off, and that means you got to get into the computer.
I see.
So
remind in 3 days is the better choice.
And it gives her 3 days to turn it off.
Okay, you gotcha.
Okay,
I'm looking up how to turn it off right now. Okay, let's see.
My husband leaves the computer on 24 hours a day, but the screen is shut down.
Right. All right, once you're in the computer, you go to your settings app, you go to system, you go to notifications and actions, okay? And then there's going to be a checkbox next to something that says, suggest ways I can finish setting up my device to get the most out of Windows. And you uncheck that.
And
Eric is dying here.
And the most out of Windows. Uncheck that box. That's such a great line. Yep, we're telling you how to. Oh, man. You can't make it up.
I'm very ignorant of these things. My husband and I have reached the stage of planned obsolescence.
Well, you're fine. No, you're not. That's not the case. This is just Microsoft trying to sell you something. And they want you to, we're going to have you uncheck the box that says to suggest ways to get the most out of Windows.
I'm getting more than I want right now.
You're getting more than you want. Exactly.
Yeah.
That's the only way to get rid of it. Otherwise, I keep checking Remind in 3 days forever until they go away.
Well, right. If you follow my method, you won't see that again.
You won't see it until they upgrade you with the new service pack, and then the check goes back in there.
Because the whole thing is controlled by a registry entry, and they can always put that right back in. I get that.
Yeah.
But for now, it'll make you free and clear.
Yep. All right, Bonnie?
Okay, thank you so much.
Our pleasure. All right, thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Uncheck the box. Unbelievable. It tells you how to get the most out of your Windows. I'll tell you how to get the most out of your Windows. All right, we're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. And four lines wide open for you. We're here till 11. I know you're all heading to the parade, which is awesome. And go UConn. Go Huskies. We'll be right back.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy.
Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And we are back. We're here till 11 o'clock. This is Computer Talk, and we'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And three lines open for you. 860-522-9842 is the number. Everything we talked about so far has been posted over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works if you follow us on X, Tab Computer Sys. It'll get into your news feed. Nobody's stopping anything there. And then, of course, if you're on Facebook, you never know. Mike Zuckerberg may or may not deem it worthy, but it's over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network. It's a private group. All the links are over there, and folks are helping each other as well within the group, which is kind of nice to see. And we chime in now and again. Dennis is always chiming in there, which is great. So let's get to your calls. We've got Jeff is back from South Carolina to gloat. How you doing, Jeff?
Hey, fine. And you? How y'all doing, Eric?
Good, good. Congratulations, sir.
Yeah, thank you. I told you we were going to avenge that 3 seconds debacle.
You did. You avenged it well. Great team.
I see the band did well. You got a parade coming up.
They're jumping around on TV. We can see them. They're having a great time down there and in the Capitol. And we're excited about the UConn Huskies team.
That's good. Congratulations.
We can play basketball up here in Connecticut. We can't do anything else. Basketball we can do. Football, forget it. Maybe some squash.
I don't know. You got some good computer people up there.
Yeah, we try. But. Now congratulations! You had a great team. I watched that game; that was amazing.
So did I.
I've watched it about 4 times now.
Really?
Whoa!
Yeah, I got every game that they played. I recorded it.
You're a super fan.
Whoa!
Yeah man,
you're serious.
I am a super fan. I have to study their moves and everything.
That's awesome.
When I finish, I'll be a coach.
There you go. You're gonna have some competition with Hurley, though.
The reason I called was I went to a meeting this past week, and we had a person in there was saying that if all the power went out and everything, that people were going to be using CBs. And I was like, okay, if the power goes out, how are you going to power a CB?
A CB radio, you mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that does seem silly, unless they're battery-powered CB radios.
There are battery-powered CB radios, but they're not going to broadcast at a high wattage.
No.
So I'm not sure how far you'd carry.
Yeah, how long is the power out?
A tall antenna, a real tall antenna, about 30 feet.
Well, you'd need serious power to power that antenna and throw that signal out.
Right. And you're and you have no power. So
and if you don't have 120 volt, I mean,
you're gonna need a generator.
How far are you gonna go? I mean, you can go a couple miles with.
This is the whole thing about AM radio being removed from cars and not being a thing anymore. This is a great AM radio is a great way to communicate if there's an emergency, right? Power outage or what have you?
Because it carries.
Yeah. So I don't know what they're thinking over there as far as CB radios, but it is old school.
Mm-hmm.
I guess you could use tin cans and string too.
Yeah, that'll work. You know, I can get my neighbor online. that's basically what I wanted to. You know, when she said that, I said, I mean, you know, if you got a CB radio or station, you know, where you monitor the police and all stuff like that, emergency, have some kind of power.
Yeah, we found out here up in Connecticut during the snowstorm in October that we've never had. It's been like 10 years now again. It's never happened again. But the cell towers were running out of juice.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And we also said to ourselves, hey, you know what? You can't pump gas anymore without juice. So they said, you know what? Mm-hmm. You probably should have generators at gas stations. So now we have power protections and supports for our cell towers and our gas stations so that if we lose power, we can actually continue to pump gas and do some of these things. So, yeah, at least somebody's thinking about this stuff. It's good to think about it now, Jeff, rather than during the issue. So,
oh, definitely,
that's a good sign. But I'm not sure how far that CB radio idea is going to go. But good luck to you.
Well, in that case, then in your home, you have backup systems. They sell those generators.
Yep.
You know anything about those? Are those pretty?
I own one.
Ah, Dennis.
It is an automatic standby generator. If I lose power for 2 minutes at my house, generator turns on.
What's the fuel source?
Propane.
Gotcha. So you got a big
tank. I have propane because I also have a gas dryer. As it happens, the house that I'm in used to have also a propane hot water heater, but that's gone.
Yeah.
And because of that, it had a very large propane tank, which has been kept.
Yeah.
So that thing is full. It will run the generator for at least 5 days.
There we go. So we can hang out at Dennis's house if we lose power.
At least 5 days. It might go 6 or 7.
Yep.
Depending on if I'm thrifty with what I turn on and off.
Right.
Because it will actually change the fuel draw depending on the wattage that you're pulling.
Gotcha. So don't be microwaving any popcorn.
Yeah. And I also have an electric stove, but I won't use that when the power's out. Because that'll turn on an additional generator inside for the 220. It's complicated, people.
Yeah.
But the bottom line is those Generac generators,
they work,
are terrific stuff.
Yeah, but they put out a lot of dirty power, though, right? So the power's not
they
a clean
do,
sine wave.
But I have found, at least for the generator that I've got, cyber power UPSs can handle it.
Yeah, a lot of the newer ones can now.
APC will not.
They do have one that will take care and clean up the power, but that's only recent.
Well, of about 5 years ago, an APC that
no,
I had.
It could not. Just, it would scream.
It went wild.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
So, you got a lot to do there, Jeff, to get prepared for the apocalypse.
I'm thoroughly confused right now, so I'm pretty good.
You feel what?
I said, I'm thoroughly confused now, but I guess I'll put it all together.
I talk too much. I'm sorry, Jeff.
Sorry,
hey,
Jeff.
That's okay, man.
But at least
I'll pick up a word here and there.
Yeah, make sure you get those ready-to-eat meals, right? You got to go get that doomsday prepper food.
I already got those.
All right.
Thank you. I guess the best thing to do is just have somebody that has somebody at the store, and ask them, okay, what do you think my needs would be? I know what my needs would be. What type of generator would it?
Right.
We'll take care of that.
And a good can opener.
A P38.
You have a T38 can opener?
Yeah, you know what that is?
No.
You know?
No, it sounds like it might be a weapon of some kind.
No, it's a look. Back in I went into the service back in 1973, at the drawdown and all. We used to get our meals, and they were MREs, basically.
Yeah.
And the inside of them, they had a little tiny can opener.
Maybe
about 2 inches. And you put it on a can and just go around manually.
That's a T-38,
huh? P-38, and it had a little hole in it so you could wear it around your neck.
P as in Paul 38, all right.
You could put it on your...
wherever you need to hook it on.
Your dog tag thing.
So you didn't lose it.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. All right.
We're going to
put a link up there for that so I can get a P-38 in my keychain.
T-38.
Yeah,
P as in Paul.
Oh, is it P or T?
It's
P.
Yeah. All right, we will.
It was great to have. All right, you guys have a great day. I got to go back into this meeting.
All right, Jeff, good luck.
All right,
bye-bye. So they're doomsday prepping down there in South Carolina. I don't blame them. The apocalypse is coming at some point. I mean, we've had earthquakes and eclipses and plagues and floods. And, I mean, something's got to be – what's next, right? We're going to be here until I hear it's all climate change. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. 860-522-9842 is the number. Four lines wide open. And get your can openers. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. We just checked out Jeff's can opener, and it is amazing. It's a little bigger than the size of a penny.
Yeah.
So.
And they're nice little folding things. So.
Yeah. So you'll be prepared and able to open your can of peaches when you're hungry.
After the apocalypse.
After the alpacalypse. So let's get to your calls. Feel free to get online. We have four lines wide open. 860-522-9842 is the number. We're here till 11 o'clock. Then Dr. Alessi will be in. As we wait for your calls, though, Dennis has got some more news you can use.
Well, Eric just talked about Twitter and mentioned that it's now called X.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been some little odd things that have happened because of that. And,
yes,
of course, being Elon Musk's company, he's always coming up with interesting tweaks.
Right.
Okay.
Yep.
Which you would expect.
Yes.
Now, what's happening is,
yeah,
if you post to Twitter,
yeah,
any link, either with the name twitter.com in the domain of the link, or even out in the URL somewhere.
Yeah.
Okay. What's happening is Twitter itself is changing how that appears in the tweet,
mm-hmm,
or twit, or whatever it is. Okay.
The twit's tweeting. So,
it'll change to x.com.
Right.
All right.
Yeah.
So people are typing out twitter.com and it's getting changed.
Right.
That has some interesting effects,
mm-hmm,
especially because the underlying URL that you're actually clicking on does not change. It just changes how it looks,
how it's presented
inside your tweet.
Right.
Okay. So you can post a link to a strange name like FEDE,
yeah,
twitter.com.
Yeah. And now
FedaTwitter.com.
Right.
And what you'll see in the tweet is FedEx.com, you know, the mailing company.
Right.
Okay. Now, that is just horrid.
Right.
Because what people can do is buy domains.
Right.
And set them up as honeypots for, yeah, whatever they want to send out, because you're going to look at a link and,
right,
you're going to think you're going to one site that typically is going to end with x.com.
Right.
Like Netflix,
right,
FedEx. There's,
right,
a whole bunch of them, okay?
Oh, you're it's only when it's an X?
Yes. X. Yes.
That's how
Because it'll change twitter.com to x.com.
Interesting.
So that's what you'll see on your screen. But when you click on the link, you're still going to fedatwitter.com or NetflixTwitter.com.
Oh, my goodness.
And that, of course, is dangerous.
Now, X probably owns Twitter.com. So even
they do, but they don't own NetflixTwitter.com.
Right, they don't.
They don't own FedEtwitter.com.
They don't.
There's all kinds of sites like that.
Unbelievable.
And scammers are going
to. Right, so they'll convert it to X, and then that site that you've configured on your own is a fake site, and it could be something that would be dangerous.
Right. Now, gotcha. I've got a Mashable article about this particular phenomenon.
Yeah.
And it mentions that some legitimate companies have been buying up these domains,
mm-hmm,
in order to prevent them from being abused.
Makes sense.
Because they know it's possible. But is somebody going to get to all of them? I don't know. It's...
Yeah,
it's just
unintended
insane.
Consequences,
right? And clearly,
somebody—it's a marketing thing,
and
it's the marketing department talk to the programming department. And
Elon.
Yeah, he's like, I don't want to see the word Twitter anymore,
right?
Please
and
convert
they,
it.
They
all to
rush
X.
to do something to comply with his wishes,
exactly. Yes, sir.
And
yes, sir.
It bites people in the rear.
It does, just, ooh, like his autonomous driving.
Oh, yeah. It just smashes right into the back of trucks.
Unbelievable. So that's the thing, right? So this is, again, something that is not well thought out and could cause an issue. And I'm sure this is not the only site that does this. It's the probably the most prominent. But if this technology exists on Twitter, it can exist anywhere.
Well, absolutely. I mean, any service that posts something for you can change what it looks like if they want.
Right.
According to a script.
So this could be happening on many other sites. You're not even aware of it. Again, marketing department talking to programmers, totally innocent mistake here. Or it could be done on purpose, too.
Mm-hmm.
So, all right, that's definitely an issue we got to pay attention to. Anything else you want to talk about? We have no calls right now. Everyone's at the parade.
Oh, well, we can go back to Microsoft bugging people for stuff.
Oh, now what are they asking for now?
Let's say you've got a Windows 10 computer.
I do.
All right, you're using it.
I'm using it.
Maybe you boot it up reboot it,
sure,
and it gets an update. And what does the update do?
Break my
it
computer.
Starts your computer, you log in, and then it shows you a full screen application.
Yeah.
Telling you that you can upgrade your Windows 10 computer to Windows 11 for free.
You're kidding. So there's an ad for that?
Just click right here. Go ahead. Do it. It's free.
Yeah. What happens?
Only on some Windows 10 computers, especially those that are still on Windows 10 now, a couple years after Windows 11 came out already.
Right.
A lot of those computers are not eligible to go to Windows 11 because of technical requirements that the computer doesn't meet.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're going to get this full screen app that you can't get out of, and you click on it in order to get out of it.
There's
it
no option
starts
to,
your upgrade.
To do it in 3 days?
No, I don't think so.
Remind
at
me
any rate,
yeah.
you start this upgrade.
Yep.
And then at some point, if you have one of those computers, it's going to bomb out. It's going to tell you you can't install Windows 11 here.
Right.
And who knows if it's going to keep continuing to happen to you because the upgrade never occurs, but the computer never thinks to stop asking you for it.
That sounds like Microsoft. It sounds like Microsoft.
Talk about the things that you can't make up.
No. They should know. We have to spend a lot of time with our clients now looking at processor levels to make sure the procs will work. And it's much more tedious than it's ever been do a Microsoft upgrade these days, because you got to make sure the processor is eligible. But there's other things that may not be eligible. Like do they have a TPM chip as well?
It's the main barriers are the TPM and the processor, but there are even other considerations. But a lot of times we don't even know what those are.
Right. But the irony that we're really pointing out is here, Microsoft, for all that it knows, doesn't know that your machine is not going to work with the upgrade. And so, again, the B team is working on making sure the upgrades happen, but the A team is not paying attention to the fact that you're not looking at the config. If you go to your system config, it tells you what processor you have. It knows right now whether or not it's eligible, and it should know not to upgrade you. But it is the year 2024, and then we're still dealing with this type of garbage when it comes to Microsoft. Yeah. How can they not, by this point, have a trusted upgrade path, right?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
I don't get it.
And this is what we're dealing with on a regular basis. And it shouldn't be the case. So we'll put a link up there to that story. Anything else you want to talk about?
While we're still talking about Microsoft.
You're kidding. You have another one?
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay. There is a former Microsoft developer. Guy worked there.
Yes.
He worked on Windows development.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Yeah.
He's a guy who likes Windows. He just doesn't happen to work at Microsoft anymore.
Right.
But he noticed some performance problems in Windows 11.
Okay.
Number one, how it builds the start menu when you click on the start button.
This could go back to that advertising they're going to try to do. Maybe they didn't.
We think so.
Could be linked.
We think so.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he posted a brief video showing, you know, what it does. It takes time to build that little menu when it used to be just would snap up.
Right.
And it's crazy. And he just posted, you know, you guys can do better, Microsoft.
Mm-hmm.
And it points out some, you know, there are some serious issues in Windows 11. And Microsoft is going to look into the issue now because it became a viral thing on the internet.
Oh, it did?
Yeah.
Wow. Usually, if they have breaches or problems with their security, they'll ignore it. This is a viral thing that actually got action?
Well, it became viral within the Windows developer community, which Microsoft does pay attention to sometimes when they feel like it. So they have come out and said, we're going to look into this because it is a problem.
All right. Well, good.
I mean, give them props at least for admitting there's something there to look at.
Again, it's in your startup, so.
Well, it's in the start menu.
Menu.
Yeah. And why would it? Oh, never mind.
Because they're prepping it for the advertising.
As a matter of fact, at Tab, we've had problems with start menus in Windows 10, going back to when that started.
Really? So we're getting calls for about that still.
Not too much anymore. We did. I mean, it was a thing. It has leveled off.
That's good.
And there are some registry entries you can put in that clean it up a little bit. And for anybody that called in, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
And it worked. And then now it doesn't seem to be the kind of issue it used to be. But, you know, it's you never know if something else is going to go the next time they update or if somebody else changes their software. I mean, there's too many variables.
Right. And they had 147, like a record patch Tuesday. So all those quote-unquote patches are going to possibly cause issues as well. So
possibly. But, I am sure they have for somebody.
Yeah. So I want to, again, thank you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. UConn Husky Nation is here in Connecticut. They're all down in Hartford and about to celebrate the victory. Back-to-back championships. It's amazing. We are very lucky to have that here in Connecticut. And as my whole entire family are Husky alum, we love it, obviously.
Oh, yeah.
We can never let Dan Hurley leave.
No
sneaking out to Maryland under the cover of night like our football coach did.
No.
We don't need any of that, Dan. And I don't think he ever will. So
no.
I think his wife's going to keep him here, so we're very lucky. I want to thank Mike G for posting everything on X for us and over at the Computer Talk with Tab Listener Network on Facebook. If you want to join, just ask. We'll let you in. And I want to thank the great Matt Sorois for slumming with us on a Saturday morning. Thank you, Matt. We appreciate it. And Mike G out there. I'm sorry, Dennis was posting everything also to ComputerTalkWithTab.com. So thank you.
Remember, we want you to be geeks too.
See you guys next Saturday.